Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey,
I'm coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome back to a special playoff edition of The Standard is the Standard, obviously. It's going to be a big show tonight. We hope you're ready to sit down, settle in for an hour of nothing but Steelers versus Ravens talk. That is good enough for any playoff game, but when the Steelers host the Ravens, which has been that way for every time they've played them in the AFC playoffs, it's been at Heinz Field. We're prepping for a really, really big game and a really good game, and as I always do, I introduce my co-host, Lance Williams. How you doing this Friday night, Lance?
I'm doing fantastic. Getting ready for the game, all fired up. Hope everyone listening to the program brought in the new year safely.
Now, normally we bring in a guest from the SB Nation Baltimore Ravens site. In this case, we can that idea. We bring in a special guest, Jim Wexel of SteelCityInsider.com. This guy's in the locker room. He knows this Steelers team, in my opinion, better than anyone. He is a must-follow on Twitter. It's at Jim Wexel. Follow him. He gives you great insight on not only on his site but on his Twitter feed. Jim, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Jeff. Good. How am I going to live up to this intro?
you'll be just fine. So, Jim, we got a few questions for you, hopefully none that will stump you. I think they're all pretty standard, but questions that I'm sure myself as well as other Steelers fans everywhere want to know. Now, my first question is not about Le'Veon Bell and how he's walking, and obviously the team is not playing. It's about Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. Everyone knows that Ben Roethlisberger has had some moments of absolute brilliance this season, but he's also had some moments of really poor play. Now, I feel like the pressure is really on Roethlisberger in this game with Le'Veon Bell not going to be in it for the passing game to kind of carry the load in the absence of Le'Veon Bell. What do you think, in your expert opinion, what do you think Todd Haley's going to do with his current unit of players, that includes Ben Tate, Josh Harris, and the wide receivers, to exploit this Ravens defense?
Well, I don't know if exploit is the right word, because if you can stand up to the pass rush, then you can exploit it. But, boy, getting there, getting to that secondary and asking him to throw, I don't know, 40 times? You can ask him to throw 40 times? That's whatever, a high number without Le'Veon Bell. I mean, with that pass rush, you're asking for trouble. So they're going to have to run Josh Harris. And they're going to have to keep Heath Miller in the block on pass downs. And, it'll be the Ben and Antonio show. And, you know, some small part of me says that Ben wants to prove who the real team MVP was. Maybe Antonio wants to prove that himself. I mean, the show is there for them. The stage is there for them. They know how to beat the Ravens, survive the pass rush, and get to the secondary.
Speaking of that, Jim, mm-hmm. Elaborate on how you think their approach will be in the red zone. We saw in the second game where Le'Veon Bell was able to take advantage of a matchup against a linebacker and catch a touchdown pass. How do you think, with Bell out, their red zone approach may be?
Lance, you probably hit the number one problem right on the head there. The Ravens, are they number one in the NFL in red zone?
Close to it.
Yeah. How, they've always struggled. So I don't know the X's and O's on it. It's always a guess down there with them. You know, Heath, can you trust your offensive line against those pass rushers to let Heath go in a pattern? Maybe that's when they let him go. But I don't know how they'll do it. I don't know. So don't have the answer.
Now, I have a question for you, because I know you get to watch some practices and you get to see the Steelers' defense, which has really gone from abysmal at times early on in the season. And they've had their moments of really poor play even in the latter part of the year. But they've steadily built this unit around opportunistic play, creating some turnovers, some splash plays, obviously. What do you think some matchups are that, you know, defensively are in the Steelers' favor? I know that the Ravens' offensive line is missing some pieces. James Harrison has basically made a living off of getting after Joe Flacco. Do you see this as a unit that it could be actually win the matchup over the Ravens' offense? Do you see this as a bad matchup for Pittsburgh's defense?
You know, getting to their secondary and beating up their offensive line. Those are the two advantages they do have. The tackles, I don't know much about James Hurst, but he has two games under his belt. You saw Harrison struggle with Andrew Whitworth again last week. But he's the best they got. You know, Harrison against James Hurst, a guy I do not know anything about. And Yonda on the other side. Yonda's a very good player. He'll be tough. And I'm sure that Urschel is a decent right guard. So, you know, the Ravens are going to have trouble running the ball. And then when they get in third down, it's going to have trouble getting a pass off. Same problems with the Steelers. That's why it's going to be a slugfest. Why it's going to come down to who gets the breaks.
In keeping with the defensive side of football, for the first time this year, I actually listened to a Tuesday Tomlin because I happened to be on vacation. And I guess I picked the right press conference to listen to because it was pretty entertaining. In that press conference, he was very noncommittal about Troy Polamalu. And he didn't really mention Ike Taylor either, if I'm correct. Have we seen the last of Ike Taylor and Troy Polamalu? Do you think that the Steelers are going to be comfortable in going with the hot hand, so to speak, and rolling out the same secondary that they have over the last couple of games? Or do you think we'll see plenty of Ike and plenty of Troy in this game tomorrow?
I think we'll see Troy and no Ike. I think you have to be happy with the corners. The fact that Will Allen came in and played well, I think I go with Troy either way. And I know it's become a big cause celeb among fans right now. I play Troy, so I agree with that, and I agree with sitting Ike. I talked to Ike after the Kansas City game, and he's pretty much resigned to this, and he's resigned to rooting on and helping on these Bryce McCain and Antoine Blake, and, of course, Will Gay. He gets this. Troy, I would play Troy, so I don't see the problem there. And if he's not running well, then there's Will Allen. So,
does this mean that this is the end for Ike?
I think it's the end for both of them, I would think. I would think Troy will retire. I would think Ike will retire. I think Ike sees the writing. He wants to get into scouting, so he'd make a great scout.
Now, I do want to ask you, because I follow you on Twitter and I always check out your feed, and I know that you're really focused on obviously the bowl games that are going on right now and the many different spots where the Pittsburgh Steelers might draft. Could you give us a name or two of who you are really excited about after watching some of the biggest bowl games of the year as potential draft picks for the Steelers? I know this book is pretty far in advance, but I know that that's something that you're pretty passionate about. Who's a name and a position that you think the Steelers might go after in this upcoming draft?
Well, I tell you what, my guy right now is playing right now, and they're winning, so I hope he's doing well because I haven't been watching. I call him Owa the ass kicker, and there's no way I'm going to be able to pronounce his last name. Number 34 for UCLA, not a scheme fit here, but Jordan's on Walt and I have been talking about him this year, and we root him on because Jordan says he's the strongest guy he's ever played with or against. And he just reminds me so much of Harrison with size and his sheer strength. He doesn't quite have the bend that Harrison has. I'm kind of pulling for that so he can be a 3-4 outside linebacker. But I don't know how O is doing here against Kansas State. His team's winning 24-6, but I just sat down and turned it on. I have it taped. But I know Steeler fans don't really want to talk about the draft, do they? I mean, it's just my own geek draft geekness. So,
I appreciate it.
Guys, if I watch them too closely, I don't like them. Like Trey Waynes, now I don't like him after yesterday. He was terrible. The corner. Alex Carter, the corner from Stanford, that's a nice name to remember. But will he turn pro? He's a Stanford junior, son of Tom Carter, who played in the early 90s, played corner. So that's another guy. But Trey Wayne, you know, the more you watch these guys, the more flaws you see, and the more human and average they are. And it becomes a frustrating science after a while. But, you know, they can get a difference maker.
Well, Jim, on the show, we always ask for a prediction. I don't know if you can give an official prediction. If you can, give us one. If not, just give us your overall flavor of how you think this game is going to pan out on Saturday.
Well, I think the expected rain helps the Steelers. As even Haley said yesterday, Ben's a mutter. We know how he broke in a hurricane in Miami, and he has played in bad weather his whole life, and he's played very well. You know, he's one of us. He grew up here in the Midwest, in Pittsburgh area, in the Great Lakes. He knows what bad weather's all about. And I don't know that Joe Flacco is going to be that kind of guy. I think he's going to make the mistake. That's what it's going to come down to. I think the Ravens have the advantage to lines of scrimmage. I doubt that the Steelers will be able to run. And the Ravens will run, but I don't think they'll make a difference. And I think the rain will tamp down, and their offensive tackles will tamp down Flacco's deep ball with two pretty good receivers. You know, Torrey Smith's a bit of a one-trick pony, and Steve Smith's getting a little older. I think the Steeler receivers are just getting better each week. So the passing game will decide it, and I believe it'll be the Steelers. And I'm just going to say 20-17, but I'm going to say that with the Ravens scoring a late touchdown. So I don't know that it's going to be all that tight, but I'm just going to pick the Ravens to cover the point spread of 3.5, just because all the numbers, when I look at my handicapping numbers, I see the Ravens' edges, but when I sit down and think about why they have those edges, I like the Steelers' chances. And I like Roethlisberger in this situation, and I believe the season goes on. I'm going to go 20-17, and Lance, I'm going to make it official now since I said it on your show.
You heard that here first. This is Weck's official pick, Steelers 20, Ravens 17.
Hey, call up your bookie. Call up the bookie, make the pick.
Oh, don't do that.
But hey, you can find him on Twitter at Jim Wexel. If he doesn't pan out, you know where to find him. Jim, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Okay.
Stay dry tomorrow night, all right?
Okay, I will. Thanks. And enjoy. Have a good rest of the show. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. There you have it. That comes straight from the mouth of a man that's in the locker room. He's somebody he knows his team as well as anybody. Lance, I know you can vouch for him as well. It's one of those things where he has a good vibe for the team, and he knows exactly what the team is, kind of where they're headed and where they're trending. And he sees them winning 20-17 with the Ravens scoring a late touchdown. It could be a very low-scoring affair with the weather. Now, before I go any further, ladies and gentlemen, this is a call-in show. So if you want to call in at any time, please do so, 347-850-8581. That's 347-850-8581. Be a part of the show. Make the dialogue a conversation. And, hey, we're going to ask for your predictions here in a bit to get them ready and call in. Now, Lance, we're going to do something new to the show that we haven't done so far this year. There's so many matchups to discuss in this upcoming game between the Ravens and the Steelers at Heinz Field that you were texting me today about all these different matchups. I said, hey, let's go over all of them, offense and defense, on the show tonight. Are you ready?
I am absolutely ready.
All right, so you go ahead, you lead in every single matchup. We'll talk about it, see who wins the matchups, and then we'll go into our keys and give our predictions. Go ahead, fire it when you are ready, my friend.
We're going to start on the offensive side of football. If you're familiar with the show, you realize that I do rhymes to try to give a theme as to how I see it playing out. So let me jump into the offensive rhyme, the first rhyme of 2015, and it goes like this. If the Steelers want to continue their march to the throne, they will have to convert in the red zone. Here are my overall matchups I think that are critical on the offensive side of the ball. Jim touched on them. Gilbert and Beecham versus Doomerville and Suggs. Dre Archer and Josh Harris versus the Blitz. Pouncey versus Brandon Williams, the outstanding rookie nose tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. And last but not least, Beecham versus Suggs in the running game, because if the Steelers can get that famous Georgia play, which is the counter play that Le'Veon Bell ran so successfully during the season, if they can get that going, they'll be able to really get after the Ravens, because the Steelers have advantages in the passing game against their corners with their outstanding wide receivers. And last but not least, Jernigan being out is also a big boost, possibly, to the Steelers' running game. So there are your matchups on the offensive side of the football.
All right, so let's talk about a few of these. I'm going to tell you that the big question I think a lot of Steelers fans are having is, will the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive line be able to keep the Baltimore Ravens' pass rush, their blitz, at bay during this game? And that's a very difficult question to answer, because in the first game, let's go back to week two. Now, that is eons ago in a football season. I hope fans remember that. Ben Roethlisberger was harassed. He got hit early. It seemed to affect his play for the remainder of the game, and it equated in zero offensive touchdowns. Go fast forward to Sunday Night Football, week nine. Pittsburgh does a much better job. They do give up three sacks, and they have it in consecutive plays. Other than that, Roethlisberger was very clean, and he did get hit. However, he did have a pocket to throw and delivered, obviously, six touchdowns, if you recall. I have to think that the Steelers are going to max protect more often than not. I don't think they're going to go as far as using Mike Adams as a second tight end. I think that Heath Miller, as Mr. Wexel said during his time on the show today, will be used as a blocker, but so will Matt Spates. He seems to be healthy, getting healthier after hyperextending his elbow. This is a key matchup that you are kind of shaky about, am I right?
Absolutely. And the reason I'm a little bit shaky about it is because of Le'Veon Bell's ability in the passing game. When we see the first two matchups, in terms of running the football, Le'Veon Bell did not have a ton of success against the Ravens running the football. Where he hurt the Ravens was in the passing game. His ability to catch balls out of the backfield not only helps the Steeler offense stay on schedule, but he also served as an emergency outlet for Ben Roethlisberger when protection broke down. So in some instances where the Ravens got really good pressure, he was able to dump the ball off to Le'Veon Bell, turn a negative play into a five-yard carry. So that's going to be something to watch on Saturday, is the ability for Le'Veon Bell to keep that offense on schedule by providing that safety outlet for Ben Roethlisberger. Either Dre Archer and Josh Harris will have to do that.
Yeah, and if you go back to week nine, which is the game, the offensive explosion for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you see that Le'Veon Bell had five receptions for 38 yards and a touchdown. He was targeted six times in that game. Let's talk about Dre Archer, because a lot of fans have brought up on Twitter and other social media outlets they've been talking about, how are they going to use Dre Archer? Because honestly, everyone that watches football can just tell by his stature that Dre Archer is not built to actually pass block and pass protect. And even Mike Tomlin in his Tuesday press conference said, if you're expecting me to put Tree Archer out there to stop Suggs, and I'm stupid. And that's exactly the best way to put it. It was kind of comical at the time. I think that Tree Archer is going to be used in specific situations, meaning they go with a spread offense, empty sets, meaning no running back next to Ben Roethlisberger in the shotgun. I think you can expect Tree Archer to be in the slot, similar to the way Le'Veon Bell was. Tree Archer has proven through his time in college. Now, granted, it was not a Division I, big Division I school. He wasn't playing great competition, but he is capable of running routes. Whether he's on the same page with Roethlisberger the way the Le'Veon Bell is, that's yet to be seen. I do think that Tree Archer creates a matchup problem when he's to split out wide. Think back to that last game, that Week 9 game, when Le'Veon Bell, he had a couple plays where he outran C.J. Mosley, and Mosley was not able to keep up with him. He's fast, but he's not Tree Archer fast. Tree Archer, we saw glimpses, just glimpses of him in the preseason, where you could see that if they can run these plays that are designed to get him in space, he can be deadly. Now, I know you are not a believer in Tree Archer, but I don't think that Tree Archer is going to be expected to pass block. I think it's going to be Josh Harris. I think it's going to be Ben Tate when Harris needs a spell. Do you think it's capable? Do you think that the Steelers are capable of putting in a package of plays for Tree Archer that, if successful, could equate to big plays?
I agree. I mean, I agree with that. And the reason I don't have faith in Tree Archer is because Tree Archer is not like faith, right? This is football. You base your faith on what you see on the football field. Although you do have to have some faith in what you see in terms of your scouting, in terms of how that'll transition to the National Football League. I think the positive for Steeler fans is that Tree Archer, when asked to do a few things in the Cincinnati Bengal game in the last game of the season, was able to make a catch, get his feet wet. I think that's big for him moving forward. But to what you said, I think you're absolutely right. It's a matchup disaster. You cannot put a linebacker on Tree Archer in the slot. You just can't do it. He will absolutely torch that guy. So you're going to have to match up with Tree Archer with a safety, possibly, or a corner. And if you match up with him with a safety, that's a safety that's not in the middle of the football field that you can't use to double maybe Martavis Bryant or Antonio Brown, unless, you know, the Ravens go to dime. You know, so just putting him on the field and getting him flexed out, there's an alert there for the Ravens defense that you have a 4-2 guy in space that you have to account for, and that can only bode to good things just from a matchup standpoint for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, tell me if I'm crazy, but you go over all these matchups, and I mean, they're all valid. They're all very good matchups to discuss. Tell me if I'm crazy that offensively, you face a team three times. This is the third time the Steelers have played the Ravens this year, obviously, as their division rivals. Is the fact that Le'Veon Bell not playing, now granted that hurts Pittsburgh's offense, but is that not a slight advantage in them going up against the Ravens' defense, considering the fact that the Ravens' defense is not really sure what the Steelers are going to do in terms of making up for him not being in the lineup, or in terms of what's Tree Archer going to be doing? Are they going to use Josh Harris? How are they going to use Ben Tate? Is it going to be a lot of screenplay? Am I crazy? But I kept on thinking about this. I was like, this could actually, in a sideways 180-degree turnaround way, might be an actual advantage for the Pittsburgh Steelers leading into this game. Am I nuts, or are you buying what I'm selling?
Now, I'm going to say you're a little nuts. I don't know if it's roasted or salted, or maybe roasted and salted, but you're a little nuts. Anytime you can take out a guy that represented 40% of your yards since week 11, that's a great thing. The uncertainty of Josh Harris and Tree Archer are fine. If you're looking at it from the defensive coordinator's perspective for the Ravens, they're like, fine. Put those guys on the field. Take off Le'Veon Bell. Hey, that works for us. That's always going to be an advantage for the Ravens. Because like you said, and C.J. Mosley is a fine player, and I wouldn't be surprised if C.J. Mosley gets a lot of votes for, you know, rookie defensive player of the year, is on a rookie all-rookie defensive team, whatever it is may be. But he can't handle Le'Veon Bell in the passing game. He just can't do it. So if you take Le'Veon Bell off the field, it's an advantage. period. And it's just what it is. And yes, for you, Jeff, I'm gonna go unsalted, unroasted. I'm gonna go just natural, just go raw peanuts, raw nuts.
Hey, if we've been doing this show all year, if you haven't figured out, I am a glass half full guy. I'm always trying to find the other side of the coin that might be a little bit brighter. And actually, I'm looking at this, and Le'Veon Bell's not in the game, and I'm thinking, this is bad. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, how could this be possibly good? And that's what I thought of. But maybe I am not. So what offensive key matchup, if you look at all the ones that you named, which one do you point to and say, this is the game changer? This is the one that could put the Pittsburgh Steelers on a plane to Denver for the divisional playoffs, or could be the end of their season?
It's the first one, and I tried to list them in order. It's the first one. It's all about pass protection. And that's the beautiful thing about when you break down a matchup when teams have played multiple times. There aren't many – there's nothing new to it, really. You know, the Le'Veon Bell injury throws another monkey wrench in it. But we've seen these teams play eight quarters, and it's all about pass protection. The Ravens' secondary is not very good. If the Steelers pass protect, and if they can run the ball, and for the Steelers, it's probably not about carries. Or excuse me, it's not about yards, it's about carries. It's about staying committed to where they're not one-dimensional and he's throwing it 45 times, he being Ben Roethlisberger. If they can stay fairly committed to the run and pass protect, they will be able to get after the Ravens. Where they will get in trouble will be if they can't stay ahead of schedule or stay on schedule their offense. If they're in third and sevens, if they're in second and nines, if they're in those situations consistently offensively, they're going to have issues because that's when the pass protection is really going to heat up. So for them, the biggest thing is pass protection. The second biggest thing is them being able to run at a decent clip. Saying maybe average around 3.9 a carry, anywhere between 3.7, 3.9 a carry. Run it between several guys, Tate, Harris, Archer, maybe between 20 to 25 times. If they can get 25 carries in this game, they're going to win the game for sure.
Yeah, you're right. Now, you look at they rushed the ball 25 times in that Week 9 game, and they ended up putting up 43 points. So you're talking about like that 20, 25 times to keep a legitimate threat of running the ball. And I agree with you, but you're going to hear me say this on offense and on defense, and it sounds stupid, it sounds kind of corny, but win first down. And what I mean by that is that if they can get a significant chunk, I'm talking 3-4 yards on first down, you've already flipped the script off on the defense. Now the defense can't say, well, we had a -2 yard gain on, like, let's say, for instance, Tate gets stopped for -2 yards. Well, now all of a sudden you're faced with a 2nd and 12. If you can constantly get 3 yards, 4 yards, even sometimes 2 yards on first down, you're setting yourself up for a manageable third down where you have the option of run and pass where a defense can't pin themselves back, pin their ears back. Now let's talk about defense a little bit. But with the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, matchups going against the Baltimore Ravens offense, I know you've got a lot. I know you love defense. What do you got for us in terms of the key matchups there?
And let me give you my rhyme on defense. It's simply this. If the 7th ring is the desired treasure, got to get pressure. And it's kind of what Jim said. It's the battle in the trenches on both sides of the ball. So let's go to the defensive matchups. James Harrison against James Hurst. I watched James Hurst once it was announced that Eugene Monroe was out. James Harrison has a significant advantage there. You do not want to unleash Debo in a playoff game against a guy with 2 starts. That matchup is as big, in my opinion, as Le'Veon Bell being out. Also, can Dick LeBeau do an effective job of scheming pressures to attack James Hurst with twists and stunts? Did a very good job in the second matchup of really getting after the left side of that offensive line and Eugene Monroe. I think he can do the same against the rookie and James Hurst. Second matchup, McCain or Blake versus the 9 route or the go route in one-on-one coverage. Steelers played a lot of cover 3 against the Ravens. So if you play cover three, that's going to leave your corners on an island responsible for their third. And the Ravens are deadly from their minus 45 to their positive 45 on the field and attacking with the deep ball. They got McCain in the last matchup in week 9 in a similar situation, got him for a touchdown. Steelers have to eliminate the big play. Special teams is huge in that week 9 matchup. A lot of people forget the fact that Jacoby Jones ran one back for 108 yards for a touchdown. They have to eliminate that. You cannot give up special team scores. You cannot allow Jacoby Jones to flip the field and put that Raven offense into some great field position points. Last but not least, in the running game, they have to limit Forsett. And the key matchup there, I think, is going to be Stephon Tuitt versus Marshall Yonda.
Yeah, again, a lot of good stuff because it was written on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, obviously, that's what we basically do the show for. The Cincinnati Bengals targeted Stephon Tuitt. You watch the game again, you see it. They've run at him over and over again. It's nothing new, especially in nickel packages. Tuitt understands that. Dick LeBeau understands that. It's up to them to make plays. Now, here's something interesting. The Week 9 matchup, and Lance, when I spoke with you earlier today before we went on the air, you always brought up that Week 9 matchup, talking about the different things that happened during that time, and obviously so. Believe it or not, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a great game defensively in the secondary. The Baltimore Ravens' leading receiver was Justin Forsett. 5 receptions, 67 yards, no touchdowns with a long 24. Justin Forsett, though, brings up, in my opinion, the biggest matchup outside of James Harrison getting pressure or Jason Wild, anyone getting pressure on Flacco. Because go back to week 2, they didn't even breathe on Flacco. They didn't even get close enough to even make him sweat in the pocket. So it's possible that that could happen again if the offensive line of the Ravens stands up tall as they did in week 2. However, outside of getting pressure on Flacco, and we'll talk about that again in a second, it's stopping Justin Forsett. If you've seen the Pittsburgh Steelers in recent weeks, going back to Atlanta, even against Kansas City, as well as last week against Cincinnati, they are vulnerable when the pass rush engulfs the quarterback, does not bring them down, and all of a sudden they get dumped the ball off. Think about the little shovel pass Andy Dalton had to Giovanni Bernard that resulted in a touchdown. Think back to the Atlanta Falcons where Matt Ryan broke off some runs. Flacco is more mobile than people think. And so Justin Forsett stopping the run, he rushed for 9, he had 9 carries for 38 yards in that week 9 matchup. Stopping the run, making Flacco make plays, that is where this Pittsburgh Steelers defense needs to live. It's where they lived. That last week they did give up 100 yards to Jeremy Hill, which was their first 100-yard rusher in a long time, correct me if I'm wrong. But I want to say, Lance, where would you say the Pittsburgh Steelers should do to kind of protect Tuitt a little bit, to make sure that he's not exposed as Cincinnati did last week, and to kind of, I don't want to say hide him, because you can't when he's a starting defensive lineman for your team. What would you do, your Dick LeBeau, to make sure that Justin Forsett does not beat you on the ground?
I think they just got to be really disciplined in their run fits. I mean, and that's the difficulty when you're facing a zone running team, is you have to be really disciplined. You have to be really disciplined in how you attack it, and you have to be really consistent in your run fits. It'll be interesting to see what LeBeau does to see who's playing the run most comfortably from that other inside linebacker position. If it's Shazier, you know, I think maybe the combination of, if the weather is what they say, you know, I like the combination of Vince Williams playing a lot of snaps in base. You know, that may leave them vulnerable to Justin Forsett coming out of the backfield, of course. But, you know, in a game where if Dick LeBeau gets the sense that he really needs to shut down that run game, look for Vince Williams to get a lot of snaps, I think, in nickel to try to choke that running game down. Tuitt, that was the first game where he kind of struggled in the running game, and we broke that down when we did our breakdown of the show in saying that Cincinnati was a very right-handed running team. But I think, yeah, I think the Steelers are going to handle the Ravens' running game pretty good. I'm not so much concerned about that running game, but you have to choke that off because the nature of their entire offense is they're a stretch running play action offense. I mean, that's what they want to do. That's what Kubiak wants to do. I think they're going to have some success and choking it off. And I think the weather is going to help as well.
Well, here's the thing that from Pittsburgh's defensive perspective, and you're looking at the fact that whether you like it or not, and I can't believe so many Steeler fans on Twitter especially are saying that Troy Polamalu should not play, even if healthy. Troy Polamalu is going to play, plain and simple. And I think that helps Pittsburgh Steelers run defense. He plays the line of scrimmage markedly better than Will Allen does. However, Mike Mitchell made some comments this week, and there was an article, I want to say, in the Tribune Review, and don't quote me on that, but he was talking about how the difference between the two is that Will Allen, he knows exactly where he's going to be no matter what. That Will Allen is very much by the book. He's a guy that does not branch out. Everyone knows Troy Polamalu's game. Everyone knows that Troy Polamalu freelances. He trusts his instincts. Do you see Troy Polamalu being the player that can help against run defense, as I do, but also making the back end a little bit more vulnerable?
You know, I think, and I'll answer this by speaking to some of the comments that I heard the outstanding Andy Benoit or Benoit from Monday Morning Quarterback talk about. And it's just about Troy Polamalu is better than Will Allen. He's going to be better in run support. And even on the back end, I think he'll be better. Because, he's a better player. I think we all know that. It's just about can he run. If he can run, he still brings a level, and this is what Andy Benoit was talking about, a level of unpredictability to that defense. Because he still has the ability to do some things that you don't see on film, where he finds himself in a position where, you know, based on the coverage, he's not supposed to be. So that element he still brings, and he's still one of the most knowledgeable players, and he's been in this moment, and he's still Troy Polamalu. I still think there's some magic there for this matchup. So it's always going to be a plus if he can run, having Troy Polamalu on the field as opposed to Will Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I think just because the Steelers secondary has played marginally better than when Polamalu was healthy, they're kind of lumping him in with Ike Taylor. And Ike Taylor, when he came back from his broken arm, you could obviously see that he had lost a step, that obviously he was not going to be able to keep up with the game anymore. And as you said, and you asked Jim Wexel at the beginning of the show, the writing's on the wall that Ike's career, and probably, I would say guarantee on this, that Ike's time is done in the NFL. I say obviously, like I'm Mike Tomlin at a press conference for crying out loud. Anyways,
I was going to obviously remind you of that.
Yeah, I knew you would. Anyways, what is your biggest matchup on the defensive side of the ball for the Steelers? All the ones that you listed is James Harrison, and I can't forget Jason World here, because he's a guy that's getting paid a lot of money, and you got to expect him to step up at some point. Do you think it's on the pass rush to get to Joe Flacco, or do you think it's more along the lines of Stephon Tuitt and Cam Hayward doing their thing on the front seven?
I think it's on the pass rush to get to Flacco. I think Cam Hayward and Tuitt will do a good job. I think also against their center, I think McClendon has a good matchup there too, because their center is a little undersized. So I think they're going to do a solid job against the Ravens' offensive line in the running game. I don't think you'll see the Ravens run the ball as good as Cincinnati did. And that's one thing that you typically see, unless you're just really bad against the run, is what do defensive coordinators do? If they see their defense giving it up in the running game, the first thing they try to do in that next week, choke off the running game. I don't think they'll commit extra bodies to it because of Flacco's ability to pump the ball downfield. But the biggest matchup is James Harrison against a rookie tackle. They've got to win that. If James Harrison does not beat that guy to shreds and doesn't absolutely dominate that matchup one-on-one, then they could be in big trouble. Because what that does is, if he's dominating that matchup one-on-one, they're going to have to keep a guy in. And the Ravens, if you look at the numbers, the Ravens tight ends were very successful against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Didn't really hurt them a ton, although I think Owen Daniels did score a touchdown in the first game. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that they were targeted maybe 14 times to 12 receptions. So if you can keep a tight end in because they have to help Hurst against James Harrison and you remove a guy from the route, that's another advantage for you. And that's another guy you can use coverage-wise to take away some of the vertical passing game that the Ravens like to hit people with. So the biggest matchup is Harrison against James Hurst. He has to dominate that matchup. He and Jarvis Jones have to dominate that matchup.
Maybe there will be a Jarvis Jones sighting. I mean, I don't know how much he's going to play. Depending on how James Harrison's feeling, he missed some time this week in practice due to an illness, that stomach bug that seems to be going through the team. We'll see. I think you're right, though. I think getting Flacco flustered, and I don't say that to sound funny, he is a quarterback that he's flappable. You know, everyone calls quarterbacks unflappable. He is flappable, and he's a guy that you saw it in week 9. You hit him early and often, even if you don't get to him, hit the quarterback. Make him have that presence that, oh, my gosh, someone's coming. I got to get rid of the ball earlier. I might throw it a little bit off target. That's where the Steelers have been making their living off of turnovers. So let's talk about some keys to victory. It's what we always do here on the show. And this is just going to be real simple. I'm going to give you three. Lance will give you a couple for defense. He's already given you your rhymes. So if you missed that, you'll have to check out the show via podcast later. But offensively, three things that the Steelers need to do. And Lance, you'll probably say that I'm nuts for some of these, as you already have today. I don't care, though. First and foremost, I think the Steelers should use the no huddle to maximize matchups, some of those matchups we just talked about for the Steelers offense. And then when I say the no huddle, I got into a very cordial conversation with some people on Twitter before the show. When I say no huddle, I don't mean the hurry up. I'm talking about keeping personnel on the field to maximize matchups. So, for instance, when you have players like Antonio Brown and you have players like Martavis Bryant on the field for a running play, and then all of a sudden you can obviously utilize Heath Miller in the passing game, keeping their bigs on the field to utilize the passing attack will go a long way. To utilize the no-huddle to maximize your matchup, especially without Le'Veon Bell, it's going to be important. Protect Big Ben, we said it ad nauseum tonight. You have to keep Ben Roethlisberger upright. You have to minimize the hits that he's taking. Think back to week 2. Courtney Upshaw delivered that hit right into his chest. He was never the same. The Pittsburgh Steelers need Ben Roethlisberger to be on to win this game. And lastly, you have to remain balanced. You cannot go into this. Jim Wexel said it. Lance, you said it. I'm saying it now. You can't have Ben Roethlisberger going into this game throwing the ball 40 to 45 or more times. It has to be more balanced. You have to run the ball 20 to 25 times. You have to maintain possession. You have to finish off drives. But that starts with balance. When you run play action and you're not able to run the ball, no one bites on play action, and it doesn't work. What it results in is a quarterback sack, and we all know that Suggs and Dumervil are capable of wreaking havoc on Ben Roethlisberger. So those three things are my keys. Use the no huddle, protect Big Ben, and remain balanced regardless of who's in the backfield. Lance, what do you have for defense?
On the defensive side of football, you got to limit the big play in the passing game. If Joe Flacco cannot hit big plays, I don't think Joe Flacco is disciplined enough, and I don't think in this environment, not to say he's not a big play quarterback, he played fantastic in the playoffs, just something about this matchup against Pittsburgh, I don't think he'll make consistent enough plays to beat them without the big play, so you have to limit the big play. You also have to limit for a set, and last but not least, you got to get heat and pressure on Joe Flacco. Consistent pressure. The one thing I was really surprised to see for a quarterback with that much experience was, if you guys get a chance before you watch this game, watch the Houston game. Watch how Joe Flacco responded to pressure. It was very interesting to see a guy with that experience see ghosts in the pocket. Joe Flacco sees ghosts in Heinz Field. You got to hit them early and often to make sure that Casper the Friendly Ghost appears all the time. So those are my defensive keys.
All right, let's go into predictions. I'll go ahead and go first. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, regardless of weather, regardless of running back situation, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers win this game. We talked at every single matchup possible. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers in almost all of those matchups. And because of that, I think that they win 31-24. I think, just as Jim Wetzel said early on in the show, I think the Ravens might get a late touchdown, but I think this game is going to come down to the fourth quarter. Look for a big play from Pittsburgh. They've been delivering it the last four games. They've won all four of those games. I expect that big play to come again. Will it be a interception pick six? We've seen Troy Polamalu do that in the playoffs for the Ravens before. Will it be a strip sack fumble from James Harrison that will turn the tide? We've certainly seen that before against the Baltimore Ravens. Or maybe will it be another big play to Antonio Brown and or Martavis Bryant that will absolutely put the final nail in the coffin? I don't care how it happens. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers win 31-24 over the Baltimore Ravens. And, ladies and gentlemen, that means we'd be having another show next week as we get ready to host or travel to Denver to play the Denver Broncos in the divisional round. Lance, go ahead and give me your prediction.
You know, I love the fact that you brought up the point of turnovers. And if you guys go back to the Week 9 matchup, the big turnover, and I can't pronounce the last name of the fullback, number 44 for the Ravens, who fumbled and it was recovered by Bryce McCain. In that game, that turned that entire game. Steelers were getting dominated on both sides of the ball. The Ravens were up 7-0, and it did not look good. They get that turnover, the whole game changes. Jason Worlds gets a turnover based on pressure. Steelers are going to have to get turnovers to win this game. But let me get to my prediction. Jim said something very, very key in his remarks. And he talked about Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, that the stage is set for them to win this game. And to kind of prove possibly that the MVP of the team should have been Le'Veon Bell. Here's my concern. I think Todd Haley, Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown, I think they are going to come out and try to sling the ball all over the yard. I always get concerned when it makes sense to be balanced. You know, Ben's a gunslinger still. I think that the Steelers are going to struggle in the running game. I think the lack of an outlet receiver in Le'Veon Bell is really going to put a ton of stress on this offensive line. I think the Ravens are the better team in both fronts. And in a game like this, where it's going to be a slugfest, bad weather, I like the Ravens on both sides of the ball. I think they'll get consistent pressure, and I think their Steelers' struggles in the red zone show up. They kick numerous field goals, keep the Ravens in the game, and I think the Ravens beat the Steelers late 24-20.
I can't believe it. Hey, you're entitled to your opinion, and I really do understand what you're saying, but there's so much stuff. I'm glad you brought up what Wetzel said. And if you didn't hear it, if you're joining us late, he essentially said that Ben Roethlisberger is a prideful guy. We know this. If you follow the Pittsburgh Steelers for any amount of time, you know that he's a guy that, although he wants nothing more than to win, he wants to play well. And he wants to prove that he is a capable, or more than capable, maybe an elite quarterback. Antonio Brown, same way, except he is more of a team guy. Not that Ben Roethlisberger isn't a team guy. They, trust me, he is. Antonio Brown's a player that wants to prove his worth. And so I heard that, and I said, you know what, that is the perfect point. I don't think they're going to come out slinging the ball. I don't think they're going to come out doing anything different than what got them to this stage. And that is, you're going to run the ball when they give you the run look. You're going to throw the ball when they give you the pass look. There's nothing that has shown me that Josh Harris is not capable of running through a hole. Let's be honest. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is good for, you know, patience and waiting for his blocks to set up. But when that Georgia play that you mentioned is running well, you could take probably 9 out of 10 running backs in the NFL and put them on that play, and they're gonna break off a big run, plain and simple. So I see what you're saying. I think that the stage is set. We differ in predictions, and that's fine. That's fine. It makes for good radio, as you always say. I don't think that the Ravens have what it takes. If you watch this team the past few weeks, their offense, you mentioned how they played against Houston in case Keenum beat them. If you get to Flacco, their offensive line can absolutely fold like cheap lawn chairs. and they could it could be a blowout. I would not be shocked if the Pittsburgh Steelers blow the doors off the Baltimore Ravens. Do I think it's going to happen? Obviously, no. I said 31-24 for my prediction, but I think there's going to be a big play. I think there's going to be a big play that turns the tide. Who that is, what team that is, well, that's obviously going to be the deciding factor. But if you want to give us – I got a little frazzled there. I'm sorry. If you want to call in and give us your prediction, 347-850-8581. Call us. Tell us what you think. But don't just give us a score. I want to know why you think the Steelers or the Ravens are going to be victorious in this game. All right, Lance, so let's talk about some other stuff outside of predictions. People on Twitter are kind of – and this kind of leads into my teed-off segment, which I always do every week. The people on Twitter and social media are kind of two different sides of the coin. One side is overzealous, in my opinion. People that think that the Steelers are going to rout the Baltimore Ravens because they beat them bad the last time they played, it's like they forget about the Week 2 matchup. And then there's the people that are freaking out about Le'Veon Bell not being in the lineup, and they don't think that it's going to be. Here's my teed-off segment for this week. Fans, there's a majority of fans that are already talking about the Denver Broncos, that are already looking ahead saying, man, I can't wait to get Peyton Manning. I think the Steelers are going to have a good matchup in Denver. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's not forget, yeah, you talk about history with the Baltimore Ravens, the fact that they've played 3 times in the playoffs and that Pittsburgh has won every single time. And you can talk about how there's 9 times in the Steelers' history that they've played a team 3 times in that season. Obviously, the 3rd time being in the playoffs, they've never lost one of those games. You can talk about a lot of different things, how Joe Flacco doesn't play as well at Heinz Field as he does when they play at M&T Bank. I don't care. Here's the thing that I'm kind of teed off about. Fans are already looking ahead for Denver need a reality check, because if you think that this game on Saturday night, tomorrow night, is a gimme, you are so far from realistic, it's absurd. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be in for a dogfight, and if they actually go into this game, and I don't think that they will, I don't think Mike Tomlin is that arrogant of a coach that he thinks that just because recent success is going to equate to success in the time and now, which is tomorrow night on Saturday Night Football, you are sadly mistaken. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to earn this victory. The Baltimore Ravens might have backed into the postseason, but they are in the postseason for a reason, and they are a dangerous football team. You've seen them do it before. They rode a very subpar secondary and a pretty lackluster offense to a Super Bowl victory only a few years ago. So those fans that are Pittsburgh Steelers fans that say that they are tried and true no matter what, that are already saying, I can't wait to see them go up against Peyton Manning, number one, be careful what you wish for. Number two, you have to win Saturday night before you get to the next game the following Sunday. That's my teed-off thing. When some fans need to pump the brakes, realize who the Steelers are playing, and realize that nothing is guaranteed in the playoffs. Nothing is guaranteed. So it could look like the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best team in the AFC, the hottest team in the NFL right now. It means nothing. It's all who wins on Saturday night. Lance, have you been feeling that from Steelers fans like I have, or is this kind of foreign to you?
I've been feeling it. I've definitely been feeling it. And that's the nature of fandom. I mean, especially when you beat a team 43-23, you can kind of forget how the game was if you don't rewatch it. And, you know, of course they put it on the Ravens late, but, you know, that game was nip and tuck in the early part of the game. And then, you know, the Steelers put it on them. I think scored 21 points before the half. And the game kind of went in a different direction. But if you're a Steeler fan and you think that Baltimore is afraid of going into Pittsburgh, you're crazy. You know, that's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback over there. That's a Super Bowl-winning coach over there. Those are Super Bowl-winning players over there. So they're not scared of the Steelers, and they're very familiar with the Steelers. So the Steelers are going to have to absolutely play their best football if they want to go to Denver. And I don't know why I would want to necessarily have to play Peyton Manning on the road either. So it's tough in the playoffs, and you just got to hope you get through, execute, and win these football games. And I hope fans that listen to the show and fans of the team, you know, there's some luck involved in this as well. You know, you lace them up and you just luckily try to win and keep advancing forward. The playoffs are absolutely tough, and it's the toughest football. It's going to be nip and tuck, and it's going to be a tough ball game tomorrow. Very physical, and very tough.
Yeah, and so moving on from my anger-laced rant about some Steelers fans, but I brought up this question on Twitter, and I want to read some of the responses. I asked just Steelers fans, what is your, basically, your storyline for this game? Like, what is the matchup you are focused on the most as fans? And I had a couple responses here. At Steeler Bill 13, he said the offensive line, the ability to make the Ravens respect the run. That's something we talked about. Steeler Country 6, or at Smart 61 Smart, he said Troy being the Troy of old, making that one play one more time versus Flacco. And he predicted Steelers 34-16 over the Ravens. That might be a little much, but hey, that's something to think about. Can Troy Polamalu resurrect himself one last time in front of that Heinz Field crowd if he is in fact going to retire after the season? But my favorite by far, Dumped for Beer. At Dumped for Beer, Tony said, "What's my key matchup? What is the key matchup? Pain." He's predicting pain. And then lastly, we had two more. Jim, PSU84, he said no turnovers, consistent pressure on Joe Flacco, and not obviously protecting the football. And then lastly, something that not many people talked about. We didn't talk about this, really. You did mention, I believe, at Billy2BG, he said special teams and turnovers are key. Special teams. You brought up the fact that it was you that said Jacoby Jones returned a 108-yard kickoff back for a touchdown in Week 9. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Antonio Brown returned a 71-yard punt return back for a touchdown in Week 17. Maybe it will be a special teams play that will turn the tide. Will it be a surprise play? Maybe something like a fake kick or an onside kick, a surprise onside kick. We've seen the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 17 had a failed fake punt. The Cincinnati Bengals ran a successful fake field goal for a first down. We're running out of time.
Boy, that was
a minute plan.
Boy, just thinking that's fake punt. Boy, that was a dumb call, but
yeah.
Yeah, that was a stupid call.
Yeah, like I said, there's a time and a place today, and that wasn't the time or the place. But go ahead and what are your thoughts now? Okay, we're putting a bow on this thing, as I always say, we're wrapping things up. You got the Steelers tomorrow night. You're hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Give us something. Give Steeler Nation something to be positive about.
You can be positive for the fact that you have, you know, a first-team All-Pro guy in Antonio Brown. You have a first-team All-Pro guy in Marquise Pouncey. You have a quarterback that almost threw for 5,000 yards. You have an offense that's averaging 27 points a game. You put 43 on this team about 5 weeks ago. You know, on paper, the matchups against their corners look delicious. And this team is riding a four-game winning streak going into the playoffs. And they played very good run defense against the Ravens in the second matchup without Stephon Tuitt playing. So there are a lot of positives going into this matchup. And if you want to throw in some historical ones, the Ravens, correct me if I'm wrong, or what? They haven't won a playoff game in Heinz Field, if I'm not right there. So
right.
There are a lot of positives going into this game. And this is just and to move it forward into 2015, this is a team that went 11-5. I had them going 9-7. Jeff had them going 10-6. I don't know many people that had them going 11-5, be it fans like us, be it guys in the media. So the glass, as Jeff says, is definitely half full for this football team. It might be three-quarters full, but there are a lot of positives to point to if you want to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just think the absence of Le'Veon Bell will be extremely significant, and because of some of the matchups up front, and another one that I did not mention but I think is also big, is Chris Canty against Ramon Foster, that I think that the advantage of the Ravens' defensive front and the Steelers' struggles in the red zone will be enough to carry the Ravens to victory.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up some good points about the Steelers moving ahead in the future, but I think right now this 2014 team, if you want to hang your hat on something, Steeler fans, it's that this step up against every single big game they've faced. And I'm talking about teams that are quality teams. I believe they're 5-1 this year against teams that made the season. The only loss was in week two against the Baltimore Ravens. So with that said, this team plays up to their opponents. They also play down to their opponents, but in the playoffs it doesn't matter. I think this is a team that ultimately they've faced injury. Look at the defense. They've faced adversity. Look at LeGarrette Blount walking out on the team. And they've always been able to rise above. They have new adversity in front of them now, and the biggest injury the team has faced all year in Le'Veon Bell. I think they'll have that extra oomph to win this game, to get him back on the field next Sunday. I think that's enough to have the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we shall see. He's Lance Williams. You can follow him on Twitter at Steel, S-T-E-E-L, radio. I'm Jeff Harbin. You can follow me on Twitter at DMGBlitz. And as always, check BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh's news and updates. It is updated several times a day. Be sure to check out my show with Neil Coulong, the editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Tomorrow, after the game, the Steelers' final score here on our Blog Talk radio station. It's a call-in show. Call in whether they win and advance to the next divisional round or whether they lose and it's a season for the Steelers. We'll be online to take your calls. We thank you for this. Hopefully, Lance, this is not our last show of this 2014 season. I hope you enjoyed it. I thank you for your time, Lance. What do we say before we call it a night every time we talk?
Go Steelers.
That's right, buddy. Go Steelers. We'll see you next time. Bye.